So an infant was born at the same time when my son was born. I had this idea of creating a more experimental music and performance project because I was playing in a punk band, in a hardcore punk band before, and I stopped with that band because my girlfriend was pregnant, and of course I wanted to spend more time, you know, with my child and family. So, but I still wanted to continue, you know, to make something like a musical project. And so Sudden Infant was somehow in the air. The name came from this term, Sudden Infant Death Syndrome, which is a term that is about babies who die in the first like 2 or 3 months. They just die during their sleep. And I was reading a lot about this, and of course I was a bit scared, you know, and I was worried that this could happen to my child. But somehow I took the first half of this term, just sudden infant, for my project, and it means for me a lot about becoming a child again, you know, and suddenly doing weird things, and it's more a positive name for me.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's when in 89 this project was born. I mean, I had the idea for this already in 88 when I knew that I'm going to stop with the punk band. But somehow, yeah, the first release and the first like performance was in 89. Somehow, I mean, you know, I mean, of course, when you have one part of your parents committed suicide, this is, of course, it is something that is accompany you all your life, you know. I mean, I was 13 years old when my father, he killed himself. And since then, it is a constant, you know, a constant thing in my mind, of course. But it has a lot of influence on my work because, I mean, you kind of deal with these emotions and feelings, you know, that someone from your family committed suicide, and you, these are very strong emotions. And of course, this goes into your art or music, whatever you do. And it was always a part of my work, of course.
And let go. Let go of any tension still held in your body.
Celeste. Yes, mainly in like his early years, you know, when he was 2, 3, 4 years old, we did a lot of playful games with old cassette recorders, you know, recording the voices, playing back the voices, and doing a lot of these games, sometimes we did some performances together, but more in a small environment, you know, more like in a gallery or somewhere at home in the living room. We invited some friends, and you know, it's not really that we went on a big stage together, but we did a lot of these smaller collaborations. It's Schnäppi Kaki Bisi Kaki. This is a project we had very short, only with Celeste when he was 3 years old. I lived in an old house. There were also some other people in this house, and there was a rehearsal room. Yeah. And Celeste, he liked to play the drums, you know.
Yes.
And so we had this idea of creating this band that I would play bass, and Rudolf, he was singing. And the meaning of Schnabi Gacki, Bisi Gacki is kind of, it's a children, Swiss-German children language thing, you know. It's like small kids, they talk about shit and piss, and because it's funny, you know, they try to discover all these things, you know. And so that was Celeste's idea, and then we did, we played one show in this rehearsal room. We invited some friends and people with kids, and it was really funny. We recorded this show, and that was in, I think it was in 91 or 92. And many years later, Daniel, he asked me about this recording, and I gave him the recording, and then he released it on record.
Tochnik Aleph's in Palm Series.
Yes, on Tochnik Aleph, on his label. I went to the US for mostly like visiting friends, and I took Celeste with me, and he was a small kid, of course, and we went to the East Coast and West Coast, and in Portland, Oregon, we met Daniel Menci, and so we drove up with his car to Seattle for one performance, and then we had almost an accident, you know, with this dead deer on the highway, but it was okay. The car was broken, but nobody, you know, got hurt. And this, it was a strong experience. And yeah, in Seattle we played this night where I did a performance, and Celeste was involved in this performance. It was a more very actionistic thing with a lot of paint and, you know, stuff to you know, mess around on stage. And so I had some tape recorders with pre-recorded sounds, and this venue was it was actually a gay club, and it was not allowed for people under 21 to get into this club because they served alcohol and this and that. And so the owner of the club, he was really worried because Celeste was with me, you know, 3 years old, and we had to hide him in the backstage room all the time. So he only came for the performance. Yeah, that was a very classical venue. It was a big festival in Huddersfield. BBC Radio was there. They recorded everything. It was a seated, you know, 300-400 people. It was a lot of composition stuff. But there was one night dedicated to food, you know. So there was this Vienna Vegetable Orchestra, a whole orchestra only with vegetable instruments, you know, instruments made out of vegetables, carrots and stuff. And they really made a nice concert. Then there was Randy Yao performing, a guy from San Francisco, and I was performing. And so I had this idea of starting my performance with eating a banana on stage, you know. I just had this metronome sound, left, right. And then I was showing the banana to the people, and I was opening the banana, you know, and I was eating the banana for a couple of minutes, and then I started my performance. So it was kind of, you know, what is going on in my stomach, you know, like the sounds of my stomach when they start to digest the banana. So I went through my performance, and I think that was funny for many people to see me eating a banana on stage. I do my sudden infant project since more than 20 years now, and of course I'm interested in doing many different things, you know. I don't only want to do sudden infant all the time, it gets boring for me. So I'm very open, and I like diversities, you know, in art, music, culture. So that's the reason that you know, I created this Charles Moneypenny character, and that's also the reason that I'm doing a lot of turntable stuff, because I like to play this instrument, turntables. And yes, speaking of this 11-11-11 night recently at the Ausland, you know, I'm not a big fan of these nights where you have a lot of noise acts. A lot of these acts, they sound very similar. It's a loud, noisy music. It can be interesting, but it's maybe overkill sometimes, you know.
Yes.
And I'm a big fan of language, you know, of the sound of words, or the meaning of words, sometimes abstract or whatever, you know. So I decided I'm not going to play any music during this night. I'm just gonna I'm gonna tell the people a story about my life, about what happened to me on my last tour, because sometimes these things are very funny. And personally I really like to listen to people when they tell me stories. And so yeah, I said, okay, let's try it, you know. Let's use these 11 minutes I had to perform just telling a story. And I think people appreciated it, because it was not just another 11 minutes of noise. So this part of using language is also a part for in Charles Moneypenny.
Yes.
Because I produce the whole, like, the whole performance acoustically. I produce it at home, you know, with language, with like fragments of noise, of music, of different sounds. And then I come to the night, and I just play that CD in the background, and I just sit there in this costume, you know, and mask of this weird guy, Charles Moneypenny from England, and I don't say anything personally. It's all from the playback, but I let my body speak, you know. I do a kind of mimical thing, you know, with the hands and the head. And it's very reduced, but I think it's kind of, for me, a little bit, you know, the strangeness of David Lynch, you know, sometimes a bit, what is this guy doing, you know, and I like that, but also mixed with a lot of humor. Well, for me, it is very important, as I said before, to be very open and to physically try out different concepts of presentations, you know, on stage. I mean, my background is punk music, and punk music is a very, let's say in a positive way, a very primitive movement, you know. The music is full of energy, it is very rough, the presentation is very physical on stage. And this was always important for me. And when I you know, switching into that more experimental music after my punk hardcore period, I wanted to bring this energy as well into that experimental music presentation. I can't just sit behind a table and, you know, turn some knobs and create some maybe music. This is not my personality. I need to perform. I'm a performer. I'm very much influenced by actionistic performances. I read a lot of books about the Vienna actionism. Mm. You know, Schwarzkogler, Hermann Nietzsche, Otto Mühl, all these guys, Günter Bruce. Back in the 60s, they did all these crazy performances, you know, using their bodies and mixing it with different elements, you know, with like musical elements, with visual art elements and stuff. So this is a big interest for me, and that's why I really enjoy to always try to create a new performance, you know. For the next shows I have. I mean, when people ask me, "Oh, do you want to perform at NK or do you want to perform at Stahlblatt shop?" Then I really want to try to make something new, you know. Because I mean, yeah, I have my Southern Infant project, and this is quite similar all the time. I mean, I change maybe the set I have some of the tracks, as you said before, a kind of musical tracks. I play them all the time, and so I'm happy when I can, let's say, create something new, like Charles Moneypenny, or when I go to a noise evening and I just tell the people a story and I'm not playing any noise music. This is for me, it's more interesting, you know. It keeps me more. Keeps me more active in that sense. Yeah. And sometimes, I mean, I'm busy because I do this since many years, and as you said before, there's many releases already out in the world, and I've had the chance to perform with a lot of different very interesting people all over the world, and so I get quite a lot of offers, you know, for shows here and there. So sometimes I have, four, five, six shows a month. I have to travel to different cities and places, but it's nice. It became my job, you know, and I try to make a living with this.
Yes.
In Berlin, it's possible somehow. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's on the edge, but because Berlin is cheap, I couldn't do this in London or in Zurich. I mean, it is different, yes, but you know, Berlin is a city that always changed. You know, it was different in the 80s. It was different from the 90s. You know, and now it's different from the 90s, of course. But Berlin still has this special character of being a very liberal city, very open. There's a lot of space. You can do a lot of things that you cannot do in other cities here. But of course, it changed in that terms that. You know, there's many people came into the city now, a lot of trendy people, a lot of families, and now the prices go up, the city becomes more nice in that sense, you know. It was wilder in the 80s. A lot of people didn't come to Berlin because they were scared. Oh, this is too dangerous, there's too many punks, and you know, a lot of squats and stuff like that. So but now, you know, there's some areas, they're so proper and nice, like Prenzlauer Berg, you know, safe, and for families it's fantastic, you know. So they all come, and this changes the city, of course. Sometimes it's positive, sometimes it's negative, you know. So you have a lot of people that complain about loud music, and then the police comes, and this was not the fact in the 80s or maybe 90s, you know. It was more loud, more active. Now it gets a bit more, you know, decent and nice, but it's still okay, you know. People move around and they look for new places. Lasse Marhaug, he runs this Picadisc label. and he always wanted to release something on his label from Southern Infant. And then he asked me, like 1 year ago, he asked me about releasing a CD box with old Southern Infant material, you know, like a compilation from the last 20 years. Then I was happy, you know, to get such an offer. But the problem was that there was already a release on vinyl, like four LPs on this Berlin-based label, Rönir, with exactly the same. It's a compilation of old stuff, but only on vinyl. Beautiful two double LPs, you know. And then I said to Lasse, look, it makes no sense to have the same thing on CD now, you know.
Yes.
And then he agreed and he said, oh, sad, what shall we do then? I would like to release something. And then I was just like joking and saying to him, what about a book? Because I have a lot of images and pictures, drawings and stuff at home in big boxes from the past 20 years. And then he was looking at me and he said, yes, that's a good idea. Let's make a book. And that was the beginning, you know, and then I started to scan a lot of old stuff and sent him all the scans and a lot of files. I sent him a lot of CDs with tons of pictures, and he's a graphic designer, you know, and so he started to make a selection, and so we had 1 year, we had a constant process of, you know, emailing thousands of emails back and forth, and then he came up with ideas for the book, and I said to him, I would love to have a book that is more rough, you know, a bit like punk style, not a totally nice art book, you know. And the pages, it's more rough, it's black and white, you know. Okay.
Fanzine style.
Yes, exactly. But still, it's a real book.
No,
yeah,
no, it's really nice.
Hardcover and at the end, I went to Oslo for a weekend to finalize the book together with him. And I must say that Lasse did a fantastic job, you know, because he was exactly on the same level like me. He knew exactly what I like, and it's the same that he likes also. This rough style of this black and white.
The only brilliant pages are from your paintings, of course, to have
middle,
more details.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's a great thing. I'm totally happy, you know. Fuck, a book. Oh my God. I can finish my work now. I have a book.
So 20 years.
Yes. There's still a lot of things we could talk about, but I mean, for people who are more interested in knowing things, they can maybe have a look at that book, you know, because there's some funny stories of friends about adventures we had. There's a long interview. There's a lot of photos from performances, and I mean, we didn't really want to write, you know, on every photo that was in 1996 in Paris and this and this and that. We didn't want to do that, you know. It's just mostly just the images and
it's more an intimate object. Thank you.